in association with Newsarama. Welcome back to Word Balloon, the comic book conversation show. This is John Suntress. We're back with another part of the Bendis tapes. Brian and I finally ramped up the rest of his Jinx World message board questions. We're going to be presenting these throughout the week and giving you more answers to questions regarding all of Brian's projects. We delve into a lot of pop culture categories as well. So we hope you enjoy this presentation of the Bendis Tapes. This episode of Word Balloon is sponsored by InStock Trades at InStockTrades.com. They offer a huge selection of trade paperbacks, hardcovers, essentials, showcases, archives, absolute editions, omnibus editions, and more, all at up to 35% off, with orders over $50 receiving free shipping. And don't forget to visit InStock Trades' sister site, Discount Comic Book Service, at DCBService.com for all your pre-order needs. Major publishers are 40% off, and monthly specials range from 45 to 75% off every month. Visit InStock Trades at InStockTrades.com and Discount Comic Book Service at DCBService.com. Here we go, part four of the Bendis Tapes. Hey, man, I got to tell you, part two was actually funny.
You know what? They always sound funnier than they felt. I don't know why.
I don't know either. But
I have an opening statement for this one.
Okay. Well, you know, we're actually rolling, so feel free.
Oh, we are?
Yeah. Well, no, I always just do it just to set the levels. I mean, don't worry. I mean, you can say whatever you want.
You can start your podcast.
Okay. Well, you know, we're back. after a week's delay, we're back. I was sick, and I know Brian was sick while we were doing it.
I was pretending. Because I seem obvious. People like my voice more when I'm congested. That's what I've gained from the feedback from the last podcast. Now, what's interesting, usually we do all of this in one sitting, and that's it. But this time we did the first three parts, took a break, come back. So I get to actually comment on the comments on the podcast. First of all, John is not annoying or kissing my ass. That was always shocking because that was, you know, this is, thought I was weird. And then the other thing is, I am not writing Spider-Man 4. That is a false rumor that I see popped up on my board tonight.
Okay.
So that is not true. That is not what I was alluding to. I am nowhere near on the screenwriting level that a company like Sony would allow, even though, sure, it would be genius of them to hire me. Spider-Man 4, there is a hierarchy of screenwriters of which I am not even on the list. So that's that. So I'm sorry, I alluded falsely to that. That is not true.
Okay.
The other thing is, there was a couple questions last time about marketing of comics, and there was one thing I wanted to say about like people self-publishing and then marketing their self-publishing. And the one thing I forgot to say that I should have said was, the biggest mistake I see online or elsewhere from self-publishers and or, you know, freelancers or work-for-hire guys is marketing themselves by bashing others. This is a mistake. A good example I can think of is there's been a couple of upstart companies that their entire marketing campaign was like bashing the Ultimate line. Like, sick of the Ultimates? Well, pick up our stuff. And though you personally, as an upstart publisher, may not like the Ultimates, you as a marketing director would have to say to yourself, boy, retailers really like the Ultimates and Mark, and, you know, the book sells over 100,000 no matter how late it is. So saying ours is not that is saying to retailers and readers, ours is not something you like and can sell. So I know I see this mistake over and over and over again. I'm like, just tell us why you're cool. Don't tell me what you hate. Because you're alienating a lot more people than you may be getting. You know, even me saying that I didn't like the paper on the Fourth World Omnibus, I lost two readers. So this is what I'm saying.
Did you really? That's very funny.
Oh, serious.
I will never read
like
you
I'm
again.
Saying I hate Jack Kirby. I'm saying I love Jack Kirby so much that I want better.
Right, you wanted better paper for his work, exactly.
You know, and I am spoiled. Those absolute editions and Marvel's omnibuses and everything, they're fucking amazing. They're the best you can ever imagine them being printed, and then this thing comes out, which was one of the greatest achievements in all of comics, and it's a newsprint. That's all. Anyway, all right, let's go to questions. I've already wasted 4 to 5 minutes. And we
exactly. That's why these things are 3 hours. Marco 19, thanks as always for answering these questions. Number one, any plans for more possible Avengers Illuminati series? It seems you could do quite a few more stories set in the past about this group.
Yes, we're going to do a 7-issue series all taking place during Atlantis attacks. Now, we do have more Illuminati coming. I can't get into it too much, obviously, because so much is connected to the Skrull stuff and the end of the miniseries and the shocking surprise at the end of the miniseries. So stay tuned. But I tell you, we put the Marvel Boy issue to bed, and it's gorgeous.
Very cool.
No matter what you think of how badly we fucked up the Beyonder origin, you got to say it looked good.
Can I quickly ask now, is that ambiguous in terms of the Beyonder's backstory in Illuminati 3? In terms of, is he truly a human, or is that the Beyonder fucking with everybody?
Well, that's what we left it up to.
That's what I thought.
Here's another interpretation. You've got a time and space character. You know, they control time and space.
Yes.
But it was never dealt with or never questioned or brought up in any fashion. And the other thing is, I think all of us agreed that Secret Wars 2 is an abomination towards mankind.
Mm-hmm.
And I've recently, if you give me a finger right now because I just said that, reread it now. Go reread it. Go ahead. Go sit down. And if you get past panel 7 of Beyonder as the pimp who comes to Earth to pimp out, then you're a stronger man than I. So I thought it would be interesting to come up with a scenario that maybe says that Secret Wars 2 took place on that asteroid, that it was his playground that we were looking at, the Beyonder playground, the action figure set that he built himself. Or it took place on Earth, your choice. So if you, like me, hated Secret Wars 2, I have now retconned it out of continuity but not getting rid of it. But if you liked it and you wanted in continuity, there you go. You can have your Matt Murdock with his eyes back. No problem.
Do you still have plans in place for one day taking a crack at the X-Men universe? And three, any thoughts on how the X-Men are being handled now and how the big X-Men crossover is going to be?
Well, I know a lot about that. I'm a big Ed Brubaker fan and all that entails. And I do know the plans for the future. So I'm very, and you guys, maybe you'll hear it in San Diego, like what's going on, but there is some genuinely cool ideas for the X-Men coming up. And I totally love Joss Whedon's first year on Astonishing X-Men, because I think it, like, streamlined it to what the essence of the X-Men really is. So that said, yeah, one day I will, not now, not in the next couple years. It is not on my plan. So maybe, but I love them and I killed all the mutants. So I kind of did do a big X-Men story. So.
Speaking of which, any idea when we may see more of the Scarlet Witch popping up again?
Yes. All I say is I just had a long conversation with Alan Heinberg.
Any other obscure villains or heroes that you plan on bringing to the forefront in your Avengers titles?
I don't always see them as obscure until I see them referenced as obscure on the message board, you know. So, like, I didn't even see Luke Cage as that obscure, but it's constantly referred to as
that. Right.
So yeah, there's definitely some juicy nuggets from the Marvel handbook that are going to pop up, especially with the Hood's gang. His crew, even Madame Mask hasn't really appeared, or the Wizard or Chemistro hasn't really appeared in quite a while. Count Nefaria. These are all really good villains that just haven't had a lot of screen time or panel time. So, yeah, they'll be popping up, and whether they're obscure or not is dependent on how much time you spend with your essentials.
And now we have a podcast, Insurgents, from David Price, who does the fine Bullpen Bulletins podcast, the Marvel podcast.
Yes.
And he says, thanks to us for doing this, my first time. So
he's got much nicer equipment than you, John.
Does he?
I don't want to make you feel bad.
No, that's quite all right, buddy.
He's got a room.
Have you seen it?
I've been in there, the Marvel thing.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
When was the Marvel team?
I mean, I wasn't cheating on you.
Bri, you're a free agent, Bri. You can go wherever you want. That's okay. When was the Marvel TV in the house video filmed?
Where was the Marvel TV in the house video filmed? That
and
was
when?
The bullpen.
And when?
Last retreat.
Okay.
Where I made the mistake of wearing that horrible yellow shirt. It made me look bad. But But there's another one coming that hasn't passed legal yet, which is hilarious. I don't even know what the holdup is, but we did some acting. I heard Greg Peck stole the show on that one. So.
Well, you just answered then that it was during a summit, and that's why everybody was in that wasn't from New York.
Yeah, no. Marvel wasn't flying us in specially for the goofball.
Boys,
nonsense.
Here's first class. We've got a great idea. Come on.
Yeah. No, that was after genuinely hours and hours and hours of very late in the day. So the fact that any of that acting was good is amazing.
Did the shoot go pretty fast?
No.
Oh, Jesus.
We're not professionals.
All right.
Well, I'll tell you, I did my piece and bailed. I was gone.
Are you slated to pop up?
I'm not De Niro. I don't hang in there and do the over-the-shoulder shots. I'm the script supervisor.
So will you be on this film that's in question?
Yeah, I'm on that one, too.
Okay.
I actually thought I stole it when we filmed it, and then I found out later that I did not.
I think that covers everything, David, so thank you. And
Did I answer them?
Because he said, are you slated to pop up in future film installments with a speaking role or maybe film something that Joe can use?
Yeah, no, there's more coming.
Yeah.
Joe's like Orson Welles with those things. There's a lot more coming.
I want you singing on one of his songs.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, not really. I just thought it'd be funny to say. Chad, 2271, greetings.
Greetings.
You got your iPhone. Tell us about it. You emailed me today on your iPhone.
I emailed you from my iPhone. For some reason, when I emailed Jeff Loeb, two emails got him, so he's annoyed with my iPhone.
I only got one.
My iPhone is awesome. It is genuinely amazing.
Do you have the full boat? I mean, everything that comes with it, all the features?
What does it come with?
Yeah, I have no idea. Lasers? I don't know. Time travel?
I got the anal vibrator. I got the whole attachment. I got the whole thing.
Beautiful.
No, it's an awesome thing. I know it's hype and we're all anti-hype, but it's the good. And for me personally, in running my multimedia empire, it's very good.
Have you talked to Brian Bolin about doing something at Marvel with you?
He's one of my favorite artists of all time, and that book that just came out of his artwork is a must-have.
Yep.
It's an amazing book. The feelers have gone out. He will not work for Marvel Comics. I'm unsure why, but it has been 30 years, and he hasn't worked for them except for a She-Hulk cover. So it's a bummer, man. I would love to work with him.
And I know he pretty much is only doing one or two pages or covers.
Yeah, he's got a real sweet deal. According to the art book I read, that he makes so much on covers that he doesn't need to, and that the Killing Joke was such a horrible experience for him, and the way it was colored. This is what he says in the art book,
mm-hmm.
that he doesn't really want to do anything like that again. So that was kind of startling, I thought.
Absolutely, John Drake. One, can we expect to see something drawn by you in the near future, meaning before 2009?
Cover Powers 25.
With New Avengers, Ultimate Spider-Man, Mighty Avengers, Powers, Spider-Woman, all next year, and any other special projects, you have a pretty full plate. Will you be ending any of your runs on any of those titles?
No. It's not any fuller than it's ever been since, like, 1999.
It's all what comes out at the same time as
far
as releases.
Yeah, some things, like, all pop. Sometimes you get, like, two or three books a week, but I wrote them sometimes 8 months apart.
Wow.
You know, it's always been the same amount that I was doing, even when I was doing Torso, so.
McKeever was very envious of your schedule of release and the way you're able to work, and is very, very impressed with your work ethic and how quickly you get stuff out. You came up in conversation.
Yeah, I'm not the only one. There's a lot of guys. I do feel I've kind of upped the ante, kind of like got a couple guys off their lazy ass a little bit, which I like. I like a couple guys have said to me, like, you can't just do a book and a half a month, and you know what I mean?
Sure.
You gotta deliver the goods. And I'm happy because if you can write. And that's the whole thing with Brian Bolin just before. Draw, motherfucker!
Did you like that laugh out loud Bendis thread? The one that had the pictures of you with words written like those kiddie internet pictures?
Yeah, that was funny.
Yeah. Are you?
Yeah, I can't. I don't comment either way on that stuff because if I say I hate this, and it just makes more.
Yeah.
If they like it, they just make more. So I just don't say anything.
Like
the Johnny Z Photoshop.
Are you happy with how you're using thought balloons turned out? Personally, I'm loving it.
Yeah, I am. A lot of drafts go into that. I mean, I always get to do another one. So anything I think they could be better or different, I get to do in the next issue. But overall, I was pretty amazed by the reaction. It was much more positive than I thought it would be.
So is that going to be an ongoing device then in Mighty Avengers?
Yeah, absolutely, yes. Look for an issue that's all Thought Balloon.
Really?
Yeah, I'm working on that.
Oh, that's cool.
The thrill of millions. No, but there's a lot of ideas that I have that I want to try. And there will be some issues that might have two Thought Balloons. This doesn't fit the storyline, you know what I mean?
Sure. Oh, so there'll be two different tracks of Thought Balloons. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, or like two people sitting in the kitchen and thinking a lot of things and not saying anything.
I see.
Yeah, so if you thought the plane ride in New Avengers was something, well, imagine a talky issue with no talking.
Favorite new SNL cast member?
I'm going to say that wig girl, because I just saw Knocked Up, and she's hilarious in Knocked Up, too. She just plays this really evil person in Knocked Up, and she's got like 10 lines of dialogue, and she's the funniest thing in it.
All right.
Yeah.
Hawk. Hey, John and Bettis. Thanks for doing this. I've been trying to read more indie books lately, and I noticed there's a nice little quote from you printed in Blankets. Any other original graphic novels or indie books you think are worth reading?
Yeah, I've actually had a good run of some indie finds of late. I found Exit Wounds, which I really liked. I think that'll be the thing I most recommend right now. And I'm right in the middle of something for Fantagraphics. I can't remember the name of it. It's not in front of me because it's by my bed. I can't remember. Exit Wounds. I'm going to recommend Exit Wounds.
Okay.
I read some other ones I wouldn't recommend.
Do you think the years you spent drawing your own books and the knowledge you've gained by doing so help you out now in your career as a writer? Is there anything that you would recommend that writers do to give them a better appreciation for the art side of things and to think more of the art when writing comic scripts?
Well, yeah, no, I definitely, as a comics artist, I think I know how to talk to my peers and, you know, relate information to them in a way that is appealing and not obnoxious. And, you know, it's definitely something that can be done versus something they have to figure out how to do.
Mm-hmm.
So that's definitely, I definitely see that as a plus. So, it's like directors that take acting classes. I think you should take some drawing classes. Go take life drawing. Just put pen to paper. You don't have to even be good. Just draw some pages. Draw something you've written. Just to feel what it feels like to draw it. To see what it looks like on the page. I mean, Alan Moore did that. He used to draw his comics. And, you know, show it to him, don't show it to him. Just make it part of the process for you if you feel that's something that you're lacking or that's something you're not getting across. I mean, I do it all the time. I just do it a lot what the page looks like, and I don't even show it to the artist. I just do it to feel if what I'm writing in my head actually would look good on the page, because it really doesn't matter what your script says. It matters what the final product is and what it looks like, and it's a visual medium. And your job as a writer is to make sure that is the first and foremost part of what's happening.
Any other books that you would recommend other than the ones? I know you've mentioned script books that you like, but any ones that incorporate art, to answer Hawk's question?
There's a lot of good stuff from Tomorrow's Publishing. In fact, almost everything they've ever published I would recommend.
Yeah, Draw is actually Write and Draw.
Write Now and Draw,
yes,
are both excellent ongoings that you should just subscribe to. And there's another thing called Rough Stuff, which is just sketches and the artist's feeling on those sketches, and a lot of those Modern Masters books are really interesting because you just get to hear what's inside their head. You know, I even read the interview that Bagley and I just did about his run on Ultimate Spider-Man, and just hear, listen what he's talking about. I mean, this is, and Bagley's a perfect example of a guy who just wants to get the job done and do it well, and listen to his thought process. I think it'd be an eye-opener.
What do you think of the format of Felon Casanova with 16-page stories and the $2 price point? With powers going to more pages and a higher price, do you think it would be more beneficial to the industry as a whole to diversify page count and price point? Maybe three different options available with what suits the book best.
Well, this is where the business comes in. I like Fell a lot, and I like Casanova a lot. I like both of those books, and
mm-hmm.
I would buy them if they were 80 pages for $80. I just love those books.
Yep.
And those are formats that definitely should go further. And it was part of the decision to do Powers is that everyone gets locked into this 22 pages of content in a 32-page magazine. And the reason that's get locked is because on the retail side of things, it's just anything you do to a book that makes it hard to put on the rack threatens the healthiness of your book on a retail level. The stores have the racks, they have the way they have to display things, and oddly sized things, or things out of the norm for a lot of stores, is a reason not for them not to buy the book. There's already a million reasons for them not to buy the book, because it's not Spider-Man or the Avengers or X-Men.
Right.
You know, so already you're trying to convince a retailer who doesn't need to buy your book on a financial level to buy it, and if you're going to make it hard to rack, that's going to be another reason. So, but then, within the size of the way a comic book has to be shaped, for financial reasons, there's a lot of things you could do. And Powers in particular, it hasn't really budged in sales, no matter how badly we fuck up the schedule. it really stays there, and we're really grateful for it. And the one thing that we were always wrestling with for literally years is, like, Jesus Christ, we just don't have enough pages to do all the cool stuff we wanted to do. And then we're like, well, you know what? We haven't raised the price in a long time, so let's do that. You know, so let's bump it up a buck, but bump up the whole format of the book. And it's really pretty. It's really, when you see 25 come out, it's really a nice package, and it doesn't feel smushed. It feels like you're getting a lot for your money. So I do believe that, yes, that there are a lot of comics. They don't all have to be this and that and whatever. So the answer is yes.
How many pages is Powers going to be?
Powers will be 40 pages, well into the 30s of content of original Powers story, leaving us room for the letter column we want to do and for the Powers personals and for Mike to show off his Miles comic if he wants to, and whatever else. But it really was that, you know, most of the issues were 27, 28 pages, mm-hmm. of a 32-page comic book, and we just weren't getting the room to, you know, make the Powers monthly an experience that we wanted to be. It always felt crammed. There's always stuff we had to yank out. So now we can put everything in. And literally, every issue I've written since 25 has been at least 32 to 34 pages of story. So.
Any chance that you'll put out more script books? The Powers and Ultimate Spider-Man ones are awesome, and I think that either a Daredevil or a New Avengers one would be excellent. If you could convince Brubaker to put some out, I'd be happy with that.
Yeah,
as well.
I'd like to read a Brubaker one. I've read Brubaker scripts. I think it would be charming for people to read a Brubaker one. I don't have any plans right now. They're a huge pain in the ass. And the two that are out there, I think, are very good examples of what I would say with that kind of stuff. So, you know, maybe one day, but right now, those two are pretty decent.
What are your thoughts on aging in Marvel and DC Comics? I think that some amount of aging is necessary to keep the characters from being stagnant.
I actually don't. It depends on the situation. Ultimate Spider-Man is aged. I mean, it's been the shittiest two months of a guy's life, or it's been like 9 months now. But he doesn't need to go as fast as things as some people push things. And I think it's two things that happen when you see like quick aging of characters is the author kind of doesn't realize how much actual time has gone by, even though it seems like years you've been writing the book. Really, if you look at the stories, it's only been a few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the other thing is that it's kind of false growth, you know?
How so?
I'm 5 years older. I've had growth as a character. Really, how? I'm 5 years older.
Okay. With no meat on the bones. I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. I think in some ways it's important, and I think, like, characters in the DC universe, like Nightwing, are interesting now. And even Bucky, coming back as he is now as the Winter Soldier, it's interesting to see him now.
No, absolutely. I did qualify my statement. But what happens
providing
is...
discussion, pal.
All of a sudden, you know, Peter Parker's married with a kid that everyone pretends doesn't exist. He's missing a leg or something, and... You know what I mean? And then you've continuity yourself into a weird area.
When did you decide to ultimize a character? How do you decide what about the character you're going to change and what you're going to keep the same? For example, why did you decide to make Ultimate Cloak a lady?
Ultimate Cloak a lady?
Yeah.
I actually know what he's talking about. There's a cloak and dagger hookers that are run in the background of a police scene.
Oh.
In a police station scene in Ultimate Spider-Man. I have an ongoing
joke for myself that I put into all of the comics where if there's a police station scene, there's always a hooker who's always dressed like something that someone said they kind of wanted to see. You know what I mean? Like, oh, Cloak and Dagger. I want to see Ultimate Cloak and Dagger. Okay, there they are. They're hookers. And you know, having Wanda, you know, being arrested, a Wanda hooker yelling, not like this, not like this. It's just jokes like that that I do all the time. It is an ongoing gag, completely for myself.
Now for you.
Well, there you go. John. But the other answer is, when it comes time for whatever character it is, it's distilling it down to what I perceive to be the cool part of it, and keeping that, and then either flipping it, it's on its ear if it seemed to need it, or you know, or it earned it, or just keeping that cool part and just doing that thing that we love so much about that character.
I'm fuzzy. Is Ultimate Moon Knight very different from 616? I like.
I actually don't think it is. The representation of the different personalities may be different, but I would have done that in regular Moon Knight 2 if I had written that first. That was my idea for, you know, looking at those personalities.
Sure.
That you've seen similar things in other medium like that too. I can't think of anything right now. Maybe Identity. Maybe that movie might count.
Okay.
That John Cusack thing. Is that, what is it called? Identity.
Oh yeah, the one at the hotel.
John
Cusack
movie.
Where, yeah, the Ten Little Indians movie, right?
Yeah, it's got all the So So I think that character is similar, but again, distilled down. I think we got, you know, wasn't so heavy on the Egyptian stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How do you like working with Brian Reed on New Avengers Illuminati? Do you think you'll be collaborating with other writers in the near future?
I like Brian an awful lot. That's why I continued our collaboration from the Ultimate Spider-Man video game. We were thrust together through fate, and I adore him, and I'm glad that people are liking his work so much in Marvel, because I thought they would. I could just tell when I first met him. I thought, oh, he's one of us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I was glad that he's been able to get so much stuff going for himself. He's got some cool projects coming up.
Do you think you'll be collaborating with any other writers in the near future?
Oh, I'm collaborating with David Mack right now on Daredevil.
That's right.
And sometimes it's and the experience with all the people I've ever written with has been a lot of fun for completely different reasons. Like the way I co-write with David and the way I co-wrote Ultimate Fantastic Four with Mark is, I mean, they're completely different scenarios. So it depends, and they're very cool writing challenges. Like what you're doing is you're forcing a situation where you cannot bullshit around. Like there's someone right over your shoulder going, bullshit, you know. So that's kind of the best part of collaborating. You know, but the downside is you can both convince yourselves that you're doing great work, and then you put it out, and everyone like looks at you. But I do like that. Like for Illuminati, every bad idea is my fault, and every good idea is Brian's fault. That is the Newsarama version of how
clearly
coming out. Hilarious.
With the whole 50-state initiative, do you think one state would choose their team via American Idol-like competition? Who would you choose to write the miniseries about that competition?
You. It was your goddamn idea.
Did you read 52? If you did, what did you think?
I read bits and pieces of 52. My feelings were that I am a huge fan of every single person involved with that book. Keith Giffen, Rucka, Morrison, Johns, all of them are people I really, really admire, and I just wasn't that interested in the stew. I would read anything those guys put out on their own, but the stew wasn't I don't even know what you call it. They just pushed them all into one person. I want to read Morrison. I want to read Rucka. You know what I mean? I want their full vision, and the stew wasn't as interesting to me.
Hmm.
I don't know, I'm gonna get shit for that, but I don't. It's my honest answer. You know, like the closest I've come to doing that is when we did is Ultimate Power, but I wrote those first three, and you know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
No one, that I'm responsible for those words, and Straczynski's responsible for his words, and Loeb's responsible for his words, even though we plotted out, the writing came down to that person doing their thing, and there wasn't a lot of questioning or, you know, lording over, you know?
Sure.
And that's the way I would like to do it, and that's what I kind of would have liked to see them do a little more.
So. Okay. That's fine.
You're all happy that someone's going to piss on me.
No, not at all, dude. No, we're on the same team. Don't worry. Any chance you might be doing something for Marvel Comics Presents?
Not right now, no.
Nice guy, Eddie. Bendish, we meet again. Kind of. To start things off, your forte is widely known as being a writer, but you have been known to illustrate, so my first question is, how long can we expect you to do pencils on an issue of one of Kirkman's Invincibles?
Oh, like he could afford me. Please.
Given the...
I'm not penciling any full stories, and if I do, they'll do right now, and if they do, they'll be stuff that I own.
Given the popularity of 70s and 80s cartoons and live-action type shows and revivals like Transformers, Galactica, The Turtles, would you ever take a shot at reinventing, reimagining a fondly remembered property, maybe even something that you felt died too soon? Well, we answered that in the last few parts.
Well, what did we say?
You said Buckaroo Banzai.
Oh, yeah, you know what? And I heard from the publisher of Buckaroo Banzai, which I thought was awful sweet.
Oh, did Joe call you? That's
yeah.
Nice. He's a good guy. Joe
yeah,
Gentile's a very good guy.
Very nice.
Excellent. If you could steal a book, even for a couple issues or a one-shot from another creator, what would it be?
Could steal a book from another creator. I would be Walking Dead, and I would just cure the zombies. Let him write himself out of that one.
The end.
The end. That's pretty funny. Just take any book and write. And the zombies all feel better. The end.
Who knew ibuprofen could make me feel better? This is great.
I didn't even think of Tylenol Finest.
Have you had a chance to read Darwin Cook's take on Will Eisner's Spirit? It's frackin' fantastic. Beautiful. Were you ever a fan of Eisner's original book?
Oh, of course I was a fan of Eisner's original book and have all... I have shelves of Eisner stuff, so... And meeting him is one of the true joys of my life. I have the first couple issues of Darwin's... Darwin Cook, not Dwayne Cook.
Yeah, I know, I said Darwin.
I did a double take when I saw his name. It's Darwin Cook. I haven't read him yet.
You know, it's excellent. It really is.
I have
is.
The Batman Spirit stuff, too. I haven't read it yet.
Oh, that was Loeb. Yeah, Loeb wrote that. Yep. But Cook's Spirit is really a good combination of Darwin Cook work and Eisner's usual
stuff. It's a ballsy gig to take, man. That, you know what I mean?
I'm hip.
You got to give him that.
And he pulls it off. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Veronica Mars was canceled, sadly. I don't know how much of a fan you are or were of the show, but if you're given the chance, and this is a big if, would you take a shot at writing or co-writing a comic adaptation continuation of the show?
Well, I do think that the show's cancellation and her meeting at Brubaker had a lot to do with it. I'm not saying after Captain America's dead, Veronica Mars canceled. I'm saying Ed's hat may be a bad luck mojo hat. I have the box sets of the first two seasons unopened, have not watched them yet. So I don't know. I just don't know. I think I saw the pilot. I like the pilot.
I just saw the episode where Charisma Carpenter was on in a bikini, and I was very happy. So,
nerd.
Yeah, you know, can't help it. Oh, she's hot. Come on. In comics, there's a lot of writer-artist teams that just seem to connect so magically.
Mm-hmm.
In iFanboys podcast, there was a special episode where they focused on this concept, and your name was mentioned, as you've been known to kick ass with your partners in crime, Maleev, Oming, and Bagley.
That's nice.
Can you share maybe a little something about how you guys connect so well and how these artists fit so well with the books you work and or worked with on them? I imagine you and Oming on Ultimate Spider-Man, Maleev on Powers, and Bagley on Daredevil, and it's weird, but what do you think?
I actually think that would be, they would all work amazingly well. It comes down to my respect for them and what they, what their job is to do, and my job is to facilitate their artwork through the story. So I genuinely try to imagine the world through their eyes while I'm writing. Like I'm in Maleev's head when I'm writing for Maleev. And that said, when I get the artwork from him, it's never what I pictured in my head. But that getting into that mindset of writing for Alex gets to him on a visceral level. And I definitely know that I do seem to genuinely get the best out of particularly the men you mentioned here, because they know my respect for them and love for them is genuine, and it comes right back at me with these pages that I get all the time that are quite moving when you get them. That never goes away when artwork pops up. You know what I mean? When the artwork's in the email, it means a lot. Today was a big Jackson Geist day, and it was really cool. It really, really was cool. Like, look at that. It burst into existence. That's amazing.
Wow.
But, yeah, you try to do right by them. The mistake I know some of my peers make is they write for themselves as if nothing else mattered. And, hello?
I'm here.
Okay, good. I heard a click. I was like,
oh, no, you're cool. You're right.
Boring answer. So you write for your artist, and that's that.
This is Mike Choi.
But yeah, I gotta tell you, switching those artists on those books would be fucking amazing.
I'd like to see Oming do Spider-Man. I would really like to see Oming do Spider-Man.
Well, he did a couple of pages on the Ultimate Spider-Man special. They were a lot of fun.
Okay. And I know that Bagley did those retro pages of Jessica as Jewel in Alias. I remember that.
And I gotta tell you.
Well, Bagley doing Ultimate Daredevil.
He does the most kick-ass Spider-Man. He's only drawn him a couple times.
I've seen
God him. Damn, he does a great thing. He hates drawing it, too.
Mike Choi.
Mike Choi.
Yep, he has to echo everyone's thanks for us doing these. Every attaboy and I'm hip is always appreciated. Thank you, Mike. Have you had any opinions on the formation of a comic creators guild or union? I know some creators couldn't give a crap, while others feel very strongly about the necessity of having or not having one.
Well, I'm actually in a union or two because of my screenwriting career. I'm in the Writers Guild. I'm also in the Mary Marvel Marching Society, which I thought was a union. Not the case. They don't have insurance.
Yeah, the shops
do. So I do have the benefit of being in a guild, in a union. It is a shame that comic book people, I don't think they could do it. I just think that there's just so many people in so many different situations and that I just can't perceive how it would happen. And I know a few years ago it was tried. Every once in a while someone gets it in their bonnet to try. And I would completely support it and join it if it did happen. I just can't see how it would. Because the independent publishers could not afford to produce their comics under the rules of a union.
And that's
only
a good
people
point.
That could was it would be like DC, Dark Horse, Image, and Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
And I just didn't think how it would be in their best interest. And they, you know what I mean? So they're not going to produce one or you start one up. You know, so I don't know. I just don't see it happening.
If you could talk about it, what are the benefits of being a free agent versus being under exclusive contract? Have you ever entertained the thought of going back to being a free agent?
Oh, yeah. No, when you're looking at your brand new contract that's taking you into the next decade, yeah, you do think, okay, do I want to do this? So, yeah, but the fact of the matter is that I was a freelance artist/writer for many a year, and I was spending an awful lot of time looking for work, hustling for the gig, where I would have much rather been working, but that's how it is, you know. So for me, the plus is I can just go, I'm guaranteed work, and I can just sit and do my work. That's what I want to do, and then spend the time I was hustling, you know, playing with my child and wife. Not to be gross, but you know what I mean.
No, I do, but also,
and
you would be getting obviously more offers now than the Bendis of
no,
the
yeah, 90s, that, right? That thought occurs too. I mean, yeah, I fucking couldn't do Buckaroo Banzai. That sucked. But on the other hand, you know, I've in the course of the entire time I've been at Marvel, just two offers came on my plate that I went, ah, that's too bad. So it's clearly been a plus for me. And I'm a Marvel kid. I sat there and I go, not that DC said they want me or anything. They certainly haven't. But you do sit there and go, And I go, no, this is the books I want to do, who I want to do them with. I really, sincerely, this is the company I want to do comics for. This is the ones I care about right now. So there you go. So, I mean, free agency, yeah, you might hit the mother load with some sweet-ass gig. But security, believe me, you know what I mean? You got a kid in the house. Having that guaranteed work is a big, big stuff. And, yeah, I'm in a special situation where I probably would have work either way, but the other people who aren't in my situation, who it's a, oh, what a You know what I mean? And
I
also
do.
It's good for the company to go, good, I got an artist who can just sit and relax and not worry about if he can go to the doctor and he can do his work. And most of the time, and it's also, like, for, you know, some of my peers, when the company says, hey, would you like to be exclusive? That's a very nice thing. That means so much because you spend your whole life trying to get here and them to appreciate you so much that they would offer you to be part of the family for however long. You know, they're saying, we believe in you so much, we want to guarantee your employment. Ah, what a nice thing. And there's been a couple of guys who, holy Lord, they got into a bidding war with the two guys. Oh, they got a payday, like, based on nothing but the one company trying to get the other company.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Creator market interactivity, good or bad for the industry? Does the fact that the creators are very accessible in comics, as opposed to, say, music, TV, and film, help or hurt the industry's acceptance as a mainstream medium? I love the Bendis board. I'm talking about conventions, for example.
Well, it's very interesting because this is, you know, comics always did have, comics and country music always had that.
And the blues.
And the blues. No, but, you know, country music actually had conventions where you can go meet all your country stars.
Oh, that's true. Yes, you're
right.
Comic
show. They really had almost the same thing.
Sure, sure.
Like grassroots. Getting to know you, hey, how are you? And what was funny about it is, like, movie stars and TV stars never had that. And it was always funny, like, which movie stars and TV stars never did talk shows. Like, Winona Ryder, and I was, like, you know, she was the hottest girl, like,
in the 90s,
for
yeah.
a good long while there.
Yeah.
But she never did a talk show, right? And you're like, and then you find out why. Crazy! Like, Nicholson never does a talk show, because he or his handlers know, don't put that on a talk show. You just don't. It'll be, you know what I mean? Don't,
yes.
don't, you know, keep it away where other people have the either personality or genuineness about them that is more appealing for, you know, whatever interaction with the public that they want, you
sure.
know? So, and it's interesting with the internet, even like this week, like Britney Spears is posting crazy stuff. Like, they had this thing in Entertainment Weekly about all these celebrity blogs and who blogs crazy and who blogs cool.
I didn't see that. Who blogs crazy?
Oh no, Brittany blogs crazy.
Okay.
And there's also just like Avril Lavigne's blog. It sounded retarded, you know, and Jeff Bridges. But like Rosie O'Donnell, just unbelievably honest, you know, and other people who post well. Barbara Streisand was another one who's just babbling like a loon. And, you know, everything's a left-wing conspiracy. It's interesting. I do find it interesting that with the advent of internet and blogging that these celebrities who were kept away from us for so long are now, like, have, you know, they can just go online in the middle of the night and blog and their publicists can't stop it. And that's what we're getting now, and it's very funny.
Well, Joe Rogan.
Yeah,
I have new appreciation of Joe Rogan for
yeah,
everything
go listen
he does
to his
on
album,
the internet.
Your appreciation will snap right out of you.
Which one?
His new album.
Oh well, that's okay. When he makes fun of Carlos Mencia, I'm a happy person.
Tell him he's not Bill Hicks either. Anyway.
more generally, why are comics not as popular as TV and movies? This isn't a weather.
Wait, I don't think I answered his question. I babbled.
Well, you said, is it good or bad for the industry?
No, here's the thing too. So in comics too, there's guys, and I would include Troy among them. Guys, and on all the guys who have my board, put boards on my site, and Mark and Jeff Johns, who are Dan Slott, who
mm-hmm.
is just very, very much of the people who are buying their books, and I think of myself the same way. I'm like we are of the same cloth, and so there's nothing that I have more respect for them than they'll ever know in their life. But there are a few guys that show up to conventions that are my peers that are so fucking obnoxious at these conventions, I have no idea why they show up. They don't want to be there, or they be there and they come there with entitlement, or they're just angry at everyone. You know, and like, you're at a convention to meet people. Why are you yelling at people? You know, so it's funny that there are certain people who do a convention because they think they have to, and they're so horrible at it. Like, I'm horrible at convention sketches. I'm terrible at it to the point where if someone asks me to sketch in the book, I know it's going to ruin their book. I know it is. I'm not being self-loathing. I see the other sketches. This will fuck the book up. But I do it anyhow because I know if I said no, if I'm going to bring your book, they'll just go, you fucking asshole, you know?
Yeah.
So you do. So it's just fun. I watch this interaction. It's hilarious. But I do appreciate those guys who act that way because now all I have to do is say hi to someone, and they go, oh, he's so nice compared to that asshole. So I appreciate that. Thank you.
More generally, why are comics...
You can edit all that out, by the way. I don't know what I'm talking about.
More generally, why are comics not as popular as TV and movies? This isn't a whether or not it should be or needs be question. It's just a comparison of the media's respective scopes.
Television is free.
Yes.
Or near free. So it almost doesn't count. It's like radio.
Hey.
And I do think that... I know this is ridiculous because clearly millions of more people go to movies and watch TV than the comics, but I think comics are as popular as movies and television. I just do. I just... The influence is massive. There's a Transformers movie because of the Transformers comic book. There's no other reason. You know?
Mm-hmm.
That was the number one comic 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. Now it's the number one movie. That's how popular comics are. And also, look at the books. Look at the sales of real books. Beyond your Stephen Kings and a handful of others, guess what? Civil War sold more copies than Hillary Clinton's book. Thank you.
No, you're right, and I've Rich Johnson used to make that point, I think, very eloquently in his comments about comics when people would say, oh, I wish comics sold more, and he'd say, yeah, they sell more than the most popular novels. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I mean, I remember the week Civil War came out, sold 300,000 copies, and Hillary Clinton was running around selling something, this is before she was running,
mm-hmm.
and it sold like 11,000 copies. I mean, she was running everywhere. She was on every talk show, the most media, and even like some of my favorite rock bands. I mean, the White Stripes are on the cover of every fucking thing in the world, and they sold 100,000 copies of their album when it was seen as very successful. Whereas, oh, hey, guess what? You know, Top 10 Comics sold over 100,000 last week. So, I know that overall the White Stripes will sell more than, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But it's not as dire as it makes it out to be. People do forget that a massive amount of people in the world do not read anything. They don't read newspapers.
Yep.
They don't read the internet. They
yep.
don't read magazines. So not reading comics is not that far a leap, you know. They just don't read. And I'm not talking about anyone listening to this podcast. You read. That's what we
cool.
have in common. We love to read. But you know, around you, in your office or your school or your friends, that you are probably the only person of your peer group that reads anything. So. And I'm sure you've been to the airport and you're looking at what people do read and you want to smack them.
Any HBO original shows that you don't like particularly?
But I don't like. I haven't watched them, so I don't. I know, like, Don in Cincinnati, I'm curious about it. I
haven't seen it, yeah.
I haven't seen it yet because it was placed after Sopranos, which was like the worst idea ever.
Are you an Entourage fan?
I you know what? I'm not. But I'm not like, I don't loathe it or anything. I just never got into it.
It grew on me. I really like it.
You know what is interesting? No, I actually can't tell you that. Sorry.
All right, never
I was going to say something to a friend of mine that I realized that was told in secrecy, so I can't say
No problem, man. No, you're cool.
That's funny.
Do you have Temptation Blocker on your computer?
Temptation Blocker?
I have no. I'm assuming it's some sort of thing that, you know, after a while maybe tells you to turn it off or...
Well, no. Whatever it is, I don't have it.
I don't have it either.
Yeah.
Do you consider yourself a writer who draws, an artist who writes, or a Jew? I'm kidding. regardless...
Mm-hmm.
regardless of which you or others think you do better. Regardless of which you or others think you do better.
I don't know, but you know what's interesting? You always know I babble a lot when my screensaver comes up on my computer. Like, we're looking at these questions while we're reading them.
Uh-huh, yeah.
I babbled for so long my screensaver came up.
Oh, nice.
That's when it's time to get out the edit.
Is there a hand in Hold'em that you always fold or always hold? Or are poker players idiots?
I always hold a pair, no matter what's going on the board. I answered that question seriously.
I'm actually very impressed. I was going to say, am I going to see you at a poker game in San Diego?
I'm pretty awesome at Texas Hold'em. I'm not lying to you.
Okay.
I don't do well at conventions, but I've.
All right. Jim T, what question are you dying for someone to ask, but we keep missing it?
Oh, it was the Texas Hold'em one. You just missed it. You were just so close.
Mr. Glass, hey, Bendy, long-time reader, first-time writer. I'd love to see you and Mac do a Power Man Iron Fist story with you both writing and drawing the book. You would do the Power Man stuff, Mac the Iron Fist. What do you say?
There's no way in hell Dave and Mac would ever do that.
That's too bad.
That is an interesting idea.
What do you think of directors Chris Nolan and M. Night Shyamalan?
I thought they were two. Chris Nolan's amazing. I don't even think he gets enough credit for Batman. That was really something.
Mm-hmm.
M. Night Shyamalan, as I said in an earlier podcast, I think we already ran, I did see the first half of Lady in the Water, and I have not yet recovered emotionally. So I had a lot of, I tend to like arrogant filmmakers and musicians, and they always end up falling on their face, so too bad.
Is Mac hooking up with a free copy of The Shy Creatures for your girl? Insert plug here.
Hell yes, and The Shy Creatures coming soon. I'll tell you who else put out an interesting, my mom bought my daughter two children's books, both painted by John J. Muth, and they're beautiful.
That's cool.
He's doing the kids' books. They're really nice, about a bear.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
I wanted to know if your vision came back from a few years ago when your kid beat the crap out of you.
Well, no. No, it's still healing. It's not a muscle, it's a membrane, and it heals on its own accord. I'm in the fall, I'm going to go in and see what to do about it.
No shit.
Yeah.
Does it mess you up driving or anything like that?
No. I can see fine, and my one eye is completely taken. It's actually healing in better shape than it was prior to its cutting.
Better, but stronger, faster.
Yes, but it's not. I wish, but it's not. it's not. It's not healed yet. There's some. The eye is healed. There's liquid underneath the eye. Like a white murky liquid that has to disappear.
Ew.
If I put a contact on it with the thing, it'll blister and pop.
Oh, dude, that sucks. I'm sorry.
I know. It's all right.
Oof.
It's okay. She's more than made up for it in other areas.
She's a good kid. Absolutely. Yeah. Any chances of you doing a monthly with Howard Chaykin? I loved you guys together on New Avengers. Did I, sir.
Yes.
There's a chance you guys are going to do a monthly?
We're working together again.
Cool. I heard he and Brereton are working on the Iron Fist annual.
I not only heard it, I heard the story from the Fraction.
Very cool.
Mr. Fraction and Ed Brubaker both at the house. It was just a few weeks ago.
Yes.
For a little party, little like get together, little get the thing, whatever, barbecue. I heard the whole thing.
Mark DeChamp. Hey guys, always love the work you put into these awesome podcasts. It's always a great listen.
I love you, Mark DeChamp.
Thanks, Mark. Number one, Eric O'Grady. It looks like his awesomely irredeemable series is coming to an end. Any chance we'll see him pop up in one of your Avenger books?
Well, so he can sink my book like he sank his book? No. No.
Next Wave, please use them in some capacity. I love their appearances over in Marvel Zombies Army of Darkness.
When Stuart Immonen is comfortable in his Ultimate Spider-Man shoes, which I think will be soon, I'm going to drop that. I'm going to drop the Ultimate Next Wave idea on him.
That's cool. Best licensed Marvel book ever. Can't say Halo. Godzilla.
Do movie adaptation count, you think?
I think so.
Then they would be the Blade Runner movie adaptation by Al Williamson.
Oh, wow.
Or the Close Encounters one by Walt Simonson.
Wow, and if you're going to mention that shit, then you got to throw Kirby's 2001
and,
in there.
Yeah, and Steranko's Outland adaptation.
I didn't know Kirby did, or Steranko did the Outland.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and he really killed on it, too.
Oh, my God, I bet.
Yeah.
That was when I was cool.
It's up there with the Rick Veitch, John Tomlinson adaptation in 1941. Yeah. The real, like, the movie that does not deserve this amazing adaptation.
Oh, I love 1941, man. Sorry.
I do, too. Did you watch the Spielberg documentary on TMC?
No, you know, I was going to ask you about that. I haven't seen it yet. I saw the Brando one that Schickel did, but I want to see the...
No, this was interesting because he doesn't do commentaries on anything, so it's nice of him to say something, you know
sure,
what I mean?
Sure,
he doesn't talk about anything, but it was weird, like, Like no mention of Catch Me If You Can for some reason.
I saw that.
But we get like 10 minutes on the terminal. So it was weirdly edited, but he did have interesting things to say about stuff. And he really, what it was really impressive is that how much he just really will tell you any good idea that came out there, whose idea it was. He doesn't, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like stuff that he's been famous for. He'll go, oh, that was that guy's idea. And
that's
like, oh,
cool.
That's great.
That's really cool.
And I didn't know he had 2 points on Star Wars. Did you hear this?
Yes, I did. No, that's one of those facts about the documentary that I heard about. Yeah. How about
he
that?
He traded 2 points at Close Encounters of Star Wars because Lucas is so sure that Close Encounters is going to be a bigger hit.
Oops.
He actually made more money on Star Wars than he made on Close Encounters.
That's wild. Schickle does a great job on those movies. And actually, I think other people made the Brando two-part thing. But, yeah, those Turner things are fantastic.
Yeah, the Brando one was interesting, too. That there's always, like, I wish they would have got into that a little more.
Mm-hmm.
Like in the late 70s when he was doing the money grab stuff, they could have gone a little longer with that stuff.
Sure.
And with the island. But no, I'm like, I know the island was an important part of him, but I think the things where people are interested, like the whole part about Last Tango in Paris was fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
That was a great part of that.
Yes, it was. Absolutely.
So, yeah.
No, I hope to see that Spielberg thing. They'll have it on demand. I'm sure I'll be able to catch it.
It is. They have like all the TMC stuff on demand.
Excellent.
Yeah, definitely check it out.
Okay, what's the best licensed book by another company?
I don't know. Well, I guess Outland was not a Marvel comic, so I win there. I think it was Heavy Metal.
Oh, okay.
So I win. Uh-huh.
There you go. What'd you think of Spider-Man 3's new Goblin design? I thought it was much better than Norman's in the first one.
Yeah, no, it's good in it. And it was to the Hobgoblin was to Green Goblin. That was to that Green Goblin design.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it followed the same thought pattern.
Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah.
Since the new Warriors seem to have some things in common with them, will we be seeing them pop up in New Avengers?
You know, the problem with that, and this goes for Thunderbolts as well, is that you got to let these books kind of get on their feet. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, so when they get on their feet, yeah, definitely. The whole initiative's got interesting ideas and everything, but you know, it's only a couple issues old. And what I like about questions like that is that it definitely says that anyone can imagine some really cool stories that could be told. Ooh, with this and this, and ooh, and this and this, and yeah, so they will all come to fruit. But it's cool to have all these story ideas to play with.
Let's see. Why didn't you get me into Arrested Development sooner? I'm getting my friends into it, but it's too late now.
Hey, Bubba, where were you?
Yeah.
I was right here telling. Extra season 2.
There you go. Yeah, absolutely. With the David Bowie song.
Mm-hmm.
Assuming you have an iPod or some MP3 device, what's the geekiest thing on it?
Well, lots of almost everything on it, really.
I'm Darth Nihilus, is that?
Yeah, Darth Nihilus. Oh, you've heard it now?
Yes, Johnny said
okay.
It to me.
Johnny said it. I don't know, man. It's not too bad. I'm sure the Go-Go's Greatest Hits is probably pretty much up there.
Mark, I'll top that. I have a 4-hour Steve Allen oral history of his career. Thank you.
We have a winner.
Thank you, exactly. Yeah, I know. What do you think of FF Rise of the Silver Surfer's Non-Galactus?
Yeah, it didn't bother me. I know. It's not like a company ass kisser. I didn't even bother me. I don't know. They explained it.
I think yeah, and I
and
think
you got the little shapes of his things.
Exactly.
In the clouds.
Exactly. Who's to say? Who's to say that wasn't like their version of the vessel of Galactus as opposed to just it being Galactus? But that was my understanding. Any movie you can ramble off quotes from, let's see, are there any movies you can ramble off quotes from for hours? Like most Transformer fans, my friends and I can go back and forth on that one all night.
With what line?
I'm assuming it's an Orson Welles line. I don't know.
Oh, the original Transformers?
Yeah, that's what I
can't think of it from the new one, other than if you were sitting next to me going, ugh, you can quote me doing that. Probably Glengarry Glen Ross, but my daughter can do lines from Ghostbusters that... kill me.
Wow, she's not afraid of it. That's very interesting.
No, she's not afraid. First, in fact, she loves it. And the other day, and she hadn't seen it in a while, and the other day, she I said, hey, you want to watch Ghostbusters? She goes, it's a sign, all right, going out of business. And that's an Andy Potts line from that movie. That was such an out-there reference that floored me. That's hilarious.
That's wild.
You know, of all the lines to remember from the movie, that's what she does, all Andy Potts' dialogue from Ghostbusters. Because I did point out that Ghostbusters is what he wants, like the funniest line of dialogue ever.
And that's in Fortunate Glory.
Yeah, and I think she caught on to it and she picked up the next one. That's what I think she did, but I still, even that's amazing. She's 4.5. God damn it, that's funny.
Raphael J., since con season is upon us, what's the dumbest thing someone's ever told you at a con?
We should do lines of dialogue from Glengarry Glen Ross, though. Will you go to lunch? Anyway. All right, go. What was it? Since con season,
Is upon us. I can't go for you line for line at Glengarry, but since con season is upon us, what is the dumbest thing someone has ever told you at a con?
Dumbest thing anyone's ever told me at a con? Oh, I don't know. It wouldn't be anybody who was a reader. It would probably be one of my peers.
What's the nicest thing someone's ever said to you at a con?
There's been unbelievably nice things that people. Would you sign my boob? Was one. I've had some amazing interactions with people, so I couldn't even. It's just, you know, genuinely emotional, nice thing.
What other works are you currently getting you excited about being a comic fan?
What other current works are getting? It is one of the true gloriousness things of being wherever I am in comics is that I do get to hear a lot of good stuff that's coming out from both companies, of the major companies,
mm-hmm.
and from the independents, and so I hear about them way ahead of time, so I get jazzed up pretty often, so I can't even really tell you some of them because they haven't been announced yet. But you know what? This is going to Ultimate 3. I know, you know, that stuff's going to kick ass. I don't know how long. I don't know when it's coming out. You know what I mean? But that mm-hmm. kind of stuff, you get jazzed up. All my friends, like even Ed and Matt, and they're telling me stuff about Iron Fist. I get so excited.
That's cool.
It does. Because you're like, look at smart people making smart comics. It's cool stuff. And they're fun. You know what I mean? Not mm-hmm. pretentious, but fun.
Do you want to reveal any B or C level characters that might be popping up in some of your books, or do you want to leave it quiet?
Yeah, we kind of did that already.
Okay, well, that's why I was giving you a chance to answer it in a different way. But
Brother Voodoo went over pretty good there. That was fun.
Yeah. How much fun was it to be sitting on the Skrull reveal for as long as you have?
That did not break. You know, there was one douchebag who went on a message board that had heard it from a guy, and he got it all wrong, you know what I mean?
Okay.
But other than that, it stayed in the vault until the thing shipped, and that was great. That's what we want. It's not to be, like, smart-ass man. It's because it wouldn't be cool if you open up a book and don't know what the fuck's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And
no,
you
I
get
do.
To go on the internet. So that was the best part, yeah. And it was still, we got, that's just the tip of the iceberg.
Right.
And now we got it down to, like, there's, like, 6 people who know what's really going to happen. There's a lot of fake stuff out there, too, so we put out some fake stuff so we can find out who we can trust and who we can't.
Oh, very funny.
Yeah, that's hilarious. No, Joe did that a couple years ago. He put out some fake stuff, see if it leaked, and then you know who leaked it.
And that'll wrap up Part 4 of the Bendis Tapes. Part 5 coming up in just a couple days, along with other great guests. All as we march towards San Diego and Wizard Chicago, the con season is underway, and it heats up at the end of the summer, and Word Balloon will be there. This episode of Word Balloon is sponsored by InStock Trades at InStockTrades.com. They offer a huge selection of trade paperbacks, hardcovers, essentials, showcases, archives, absolute editions, omnibus editions, and more, all at up to 35% off, with orders over $50 receiving free shipping. And don't forget to visit InStock Trade's sister site, Discount Comic Book Service, at dcbservice.com for all your pre-order needs. Major publishers are 40% off, and monthly specials range from 45 to 75% off every month. Visit InStock Trades at InStockTrades.com and Discount Comic Book Service at dcbservice.com. Thanks again for listening. This is John Suntress. Don't forget, War Balloon is all over the internet. We're at newsarama.com. We're also at myspace.com/wordballoon, comicspace.com/wordballoon. You can look at us at our blog, blogger spot, which is wordballoon.blogspot.com. and, of course, our Libsyn feed, which is wordballoon.libsyn.com. You can pick up the RSS feed there, or you can subscribe via iTunes. And we recommend you do either of those. If you go by and want to leave us a review, that would be awesome, too. I'm always available via email, john@wordballoon.com, if you have any questions or comments about the show. So, again, thanks for listening. Word Balloon is a copyright feature of Shaky Productions. Copyright 2007. All rights reserved.